Previously, on Unnecessary Side Project.
Matt bought a fedora.
Joe sang Youth of the Nation.
Hi, I'm the Polka King of the Midwest.
And I'm Oliver Platt.
And welcome to Unnecessary Side Project. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
It's going very well.
I appreciate that. Whole lot of reference.
You know, polka, polka, polka.
Polka, polka.
I love John Candy.
In fact, my mom went to high school with Catherine O'Hara.
Really?
Yep, the mom from Home Alone.
Wow.
I didn't believe her. I made her pull a yearbook out. She's in there.
Really?
Yep.
Is that her... Was she married? Is O'Hara her maiden name? Or is
I think...
Or has she always just gone by O'Hara?
She kept it O'Hara with... And even when she got married, I think. But I could be mistaken. I forgot.
Wow. She's funny.
Yeah, she is funny.
Yeah. I love SCTV and everyone who has ever been on that show. And I tried to talk to you about it. You're not...
Never actually seen an episode.
Never seen...
It's the worst because I love that kind of comedy. But...
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's dated now and not dated in bad way. It's just like you can tell, like it's from a certain era. Like everyone's in glasses with like tint and bell bottoms, but there's some seriously funny stuff in that show, and I love it. They used to play it on Global, on weekends, like during the day, and I would watch it all the time. And then when Comedy Network, the cable channel, first launched, they played SCTV all the time too, so like I watched it all the time. They used to play SCTV and then Saturday Night Live from like the late 80s, early 90s. So like John Lovitz, Adam Sandler, that era. And I would just nonstop watch it. It's all right. Are you turning on the stopwatch because I said stopwatch it?
I don't know why. It's the reason that my brain got jogged.
All right.
I flicked the stopwatch.
In
case anyone's curious, that's... For the last five podcasts, I forgot to start the stopwatch.
Yep.
But last one, I was good.
You did, yeah.
We
talked about it before. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so this episode of the podcast, we are going to be talking about cultural differences, stuff that we have sort of discovered in our many travels all across the world. We're globetrotters, you and I. Mm-hmm. Things that we have found strange or perplexing or interesting or cool. Or maybe different, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just things that, as an outsider, you're looking at in a different culture and you say, hey, why do they do that? And maybe the reasons why, or maybe the reasons why not. Really getting in, trying to get your mind jogging here.
So one thing I was talking to one of our coworkers the other day about was McDonald's.
Yes.
Which is kind of low hanging fruit in terms of things to mention in different regions, but I'm going there.
Okay. You're loving it.
Yeah, I am loving it. I would love some McDonald's right now, too.
Oh, man.
But
probably
McDonald's,
you want to
sponsor this podcast.
Yep.
Bring us some nuggets right now.
As a tangent, I'm doing another, like, YouTube thing that I'm not going to publicize, but one of the jokes that I did, like, 100 times across 6 different videos was blank person's name. If you're listening, like, comment, and subscribe. And I said
really?
It over, and now we're doing, if you want to sponsor the podcast.
That's funny.
So, yeah, I'm just, I have one joke that I just go back to, apparently. And it is that. Give me money.
Give me money. How's that working out for us so far?
Not so great.
This podcast is sponsored by nothing.
Audible.com. If we say it, they have to sponsor
yeah,
us.
Yeah, that's how it works, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works.
No, it isn't.
So McDonald's, I would say, is low-hanging fruit, and so we were out east, and we actually went on a trip out east.
We did.
And they have, you know, McLobsters, so basically lobster meat on a hot dog bun. But I always
thought... Which is delicious,
by the way. It is delicious, yeah. And I always heard that wherever you go in the world, there's a McDonald's, and what's unique about them is that they cater their menu to the local region.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was kind of like that Eastern Canada kind of format, where it's the standard McDonald's menu... with a couple weird things on it. But then our coworker came back from Europe, and it's a completely different menu. It's a whole different restaurant in other places. I was unaware of this.
Yeah, I went to Hungary in 2006 with my family. And that's where the majority of this podcast is going to be coming from. But we stopped at a McDonald's, which was, like, off of a highway. Like, it was just, like, and the place was packed. Like, it was, you could barely move in there. It was like the only place to stop in, you know, a couple hundred kilometers, and it was just filled with people. And I couldn't, well, I can't speak Hungarian or read Hungarian, but like looking at the stuff on the menu and like the pictures, I didn't recognize anything. I mean, like the Big Mac was there, but other than that, it was just like weird burger combinations and fries and sides and stuff. Yeah, it was strange. Also, they had Wi-Fi there way before they had Wi-Fi in McDonald's in Canada, which was, if Eastern Europe gets it before Canada, you're doing something wrong.
I think one thing I find kind of sad, but also just kind of interesting is there's kind of the always the comparison between Italy and Germany, where in Italy a train is never on time, and in Germany it is always on time.
Yeah.
But to extrapolate that, I find it crazy that in Western industrialized nations, there are like wildly different standards for things like medicine and, you know, safety for a construction site and that kind of thing. So you see people with tons of safety equipment in Canada working on a building, and then they'll be in either Eastern Europe or other European countries, and they have half the equipment on. I'm like, I don't understand how this isn't, it's not like a cultural difference, but I guess it's like a laissez-faire, if you fall off your ladder, it's your problem kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of cultures maybe haven't had like the labor movement that we had in westernized nations.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
You know. Stuff in sort of the Eastern Bloc, previous like Soviet Union and, you know, the Middle East, that kind of stuff. Like maybe, I don't know. That is strange, definitely. Like when I was in Hungary, like people just driving without seatbelts.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah,
it's like, what? Like, you, and they had seatbelts in the car, but just culturally, no one put them on. And I like in the metropolitan, you would, but we were out in the country because my dad came from like a little farm town, and that's where we were visiting. And just, you know, people would just hop in their truck, no doors, no seatbelt, just driving around. It's like, okay, well, and it's dinging the whole time. Please put on your seatbelt, but no one did.
It seems like a totally unnecessary risk when it doesn't really hinder you from doing anything.
No.
I don't know. That's a weird...
Well, I mean, if you need to bail.
It's true. You tuck and roll at the side of the
exactly.
car.
Exactly.
The doorless car.
If you're gonna ramp something, you got to be able to have a quick exit.
Yeah.
I'm glad we both paused at the same time.
Yeah.
So, pizza toppings. They seem to vary quite a bit from culture to culture. And the way sort of pizzas are made. So, I mean, like, you've got the thick crust versus thin crust debate. The deep dish in Chicago. But then sort of regular toppings that you would expect on pizza. And that they seem to vary wildly across the world. So, I'm going back to Hungary because I'm not a world traveler. I said that at the beginning. But literally the only place I've gone outside of North America is Hungary, but I've spoken to people who have gone elsewhere in Europe, and specifically Eastern Europe. Corn, little kernels of corn on pizza is a common thing, apparently, because every single pizza we got had corn on it, and I was just like, that's the topping. Other people,
it actually sounds delicious. I don't know why that is.
It was great. I loved it, yeah. But it was very strange. It's very jarring at first when you come out and there's these little yellow specks on your pizza.
Yeah, I find pizza in and of itself is funny because the ingredients for pizza, like tomatoes, are not a native Italian plant. But now all cuisine from Italy you associate with...
What are you talking about? There's no tomatoes in it.
Well, there are tomatoes in Italy, but they didn't come from Italy originally.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the original version of pizza has no tomato sauce on it. All those kinds of more of pesto kind of sauce on that kind of thing.
Huh.
But that is like centuries ago, so it's obviously there's a reason for this.
Yeah.
But anyway, I found that interesting. But I went to a wedding last week, my cousin's wedding, and...
Mazel tov.
Thank you. And so our family's Ukrainian, and she was marrying an Italian guy, or she married an Italian guy. And as part of the wedding, they actually got married in Gibraltar, just like John Lennon and Yoko Ono did.
They got married in Gibraltar?
Yeah, a year ago, yeah. And then they had like a ceremony...
John Lennon and Yoko Ono got married in Gibraltar a year ago?
No.
Have you told the newspapers?
I think Sean Connery got married there too, but anyway.
Okay.
during their ceremony, because it wasn't really a marriage ceremony, it was more of a celebration kind of thing. They actually went over cultural differences between Italian weddings and Ukrainian weddings. So, and they said they mixed the two for the wedding. So, for example, it was traditional in Ukrainian weddings for women to wear the ring on the right hand, for the bride and groom to arrive together to the wedding, as opposed to driving separately. And they also stand on, like, it's basically like a cloth in front of the room.
Okay.
To sort of symbolize to never stand on dirt floor again kind of thing.
Oh.
Meanwhile, that's nice. On the Italian side, the groom had a piece of iron in his pocket, which is supposed to ward off spirits or something like that. And they didn't get married in August because I guess August is bad luck. Neither of these two things were confirmed by my girlfriend's family, which are Italian. They don't think either of those things are true, but
okay.
He did them, so must be a different region of Italy.
Right.
And it struck me when I was there, and then we talking about this podcast, was that if you were from a different culture and walked into a Ukrainian wedding or an Italian wedding, and you're from a different part of the world, you would probably have a very hard time distinguishing much difference between the two of them. They're virtually the same thing.
Yeah.
But if you were to walk into like a Hindu wedding and an Italian wedding, you'd notice some significant differences, right? So it's kind of interesting how sometimes we split hairs from like different neighborhoods in the same city, but then we start to extrapolate out eventually, like the us versus them goes all the way to like much larger scale things.
Yeah, I mean, like we're really only talking about sort of westernized Europe,
yeah,
more or less, and North America. Like I've never been to Asia, I've never been to Africa, so I mean it's only stuff that I've either seen on the internet or have experienced firsthand. And yeah, but definitely like Indian and like Hindu weddings and are just crazy. Like they're days long, and like the dress and like the different components of the wedding, like there's a different thing on each day, and like it's crazy.
So I was speaking of cultural differences, and you've been to Europe, I have not been to Europe, but when we think about, we're watching the World Cups on right now, and you see everyone has their different flags out.
Yeah.
And it's funny how small Europe is geographically, but how vastly different some of the cultures are.
Yeah.
Do you think if you went back 200 years or 300 years and we're dividing up the world, do you think there's enough of a cultural difference from, let's say, like Texas and New York toward them being like distinct countries with distinct cultures that would have emerged? Or do you think that they actually fall under sort of the American culture?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Because like how different... I realize Spain and France or Spain and Portugal are very different because they have hundreds of years of history that have differentiated their sort of paths and different invasions and things like that. But
right.
And North America doesn't have that same kind of rich history. But in terms of the actual differences in day-to-day life, if you're in the largest city in Spain, the largest city in Portugal, is your daily life that much different versus a rural person in those two countries? When you think about someone in like rural New York State versus someone in like rural Alabama, I imagine it being quite different, or rural like Louisiana.
Yeah, I think environmentally it's very different and culturally definitely. And I mean, like, you go back far enough, you know, the whole sort of, like, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, up into California, like, was all primarily Mexican and Hispanic people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, it's just essentially manifest destiny and war that has put white people there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, like, if we're going back far enough, then probably not. I mean, it would essentially be just like little white settlement on the East Coast, and then everything else would be something different.
Yeah,
or either native or I forget the Aztec or Incan is South America, but yeah. But yeah, like present day, if we were to take culturally, I think like it would, the country would essentially be split up into like East, West, and then North and South. Like Midwest, North and South are very different. Like, you know, you look at your Minnesota and your Wisconsin, they're completely different from people in Arizona and Texas and that kind of stuff. And then like the coasts are more or less the same, although I mean it really depends on where you, like the further you get from the shore, it seems like the more conservative you seem to get.
Yeah.
It seems, and yeah, I don't know. But I also don't know all that much about America. I haven't been everywhere, so
yeah.
I'm just really pulling this out of my butt.
Yeah, I think a big thing you study, like when I was studying history and North American history, that everyone in Canada loves to just describe or discuss like Canadian culture versus American culture.
Yeah.
And how Canadian culture is being gobbled up by American mass media and so on and so forth. But I think at its core, when you look at different countries, so people say, you know, this country's lazy and that country works hard, or this country's organized, that country's disorganized. Superficially, the United States and Canada are basically the same country. So yeah. Superficially, you know, every province could become a state and nothing would really change. Really, it sort of seems, right? We all have Western ideals and,
yeah,
you know, we have that kind of stuff. Everyone speaks English or Spanish or French, like they're, but they're, for the most part, it's one big culture. But I don't really think that's true. Like, I think there's a certain element of American, the American ethos about kind of being a, not a self-starter, but picking yourself by your bootstraps and everybody can kind of make it on their own.
Yeah.
That I don't think is as prevalent in Canada. Not that people think you can just wallow through life and things like that, but there's definitely seems to be more of a specific emphasis on, you know, the individual in these states.
Yeah. I think I forget who it is that said this, but I believe it's a relatively famous quote. It's like every American thinks that they're just an inconvenience millionaire or something like that. Yeah. Like they're just like it. They're just going to be a millionaire someday. And like, they're just waiting for it to happen. So yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, there's definitely more of an individual, ideal in the States than there is in Canada. And I think that's because of our sort of decades of building a social safety net.
Yeah.
And like, just constant taxation to try and help society. Like we're way more socialist than the States. Like, yeah, their left wing is further right than our right wing.
Yeah.
Like it's, I mean, in years that have gone by, they've gotten a little closer. I mean,
but I agree with that. That's,
yeah, definitely.
For the most part. I mean, especially even if you say, okay, fine, fiscally, there may be some overlap, but like socially, it's dramatically different. Yeah, like no one can get away. Like, in basically, as far as I remember or understand, I can be wrong, so I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but like gay marriage, as an example, is legal in Canada, just pretty much flat legal everywhere, right?
Yep.
Whereas it's still a debate in many, many.
I think the problem with that is it in Canada was able to fall under federal jurisdiction. So in Canada, they were able to say through the House or through the Supreme Court that it's legal, whereas in the States, this individual states have so much power that it's become a state issue. So each individual state has to say that it's legal.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, like we're getting into like a politics talk, but like the amount of powers that the individual states have is so mind-boggling to me. Like provincial power in Canada is like they have jurisdiction over certain things, like healthcare they have jurisdiction over, but generally it's
administrative almost.
It's pretty much the same across the board.
Yeah.
But like, you know, living in one corner of the States and then living in another, it's like so wildly different in terms of like what policy and that kind of, like, I can't understand it. Like it's cuckoo bananas.
Yeah. I think, and we're talking about cultural differences. I mean, it's pretty crazy that it was last week or 2 weeks ago that the second U.S. state has now legalized recreational marijuana.
Yeah.
Which I find, like, I never would have guessed that that would happen in any state, let alone already two. I always thought that Canada, obviously BC, is known for, you know, growing a lot of pot. And and Canada's always been scared of softening drug laws because the U.S. Would slow the borders down and we're such a big trading partner. Then out of the blue, like two states basically just say, oh yeah, you know what? We're going to legalize it because we're broke.
Including like, one that borders Canada.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So, I think it's just, like, talk about cultural difference. Like, you think about people who are extremely conservative in, you know, insert state here and really worried about drug laws and so on and so forth. And suddenly in the same country, something that is a Schedule I drug, like the hardest, categorized as the hardest kind of drug there is.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. But just saying in one state, and actually across the country, because it's just flat out legal somewhere else. It's so hilarious.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And I think I think that's probably going to be a big issue in the upcoming election here in Canada.
Yeah.
So we might be seeing it across the board happening. Yeah. I do remember a couple of years back when it was something happened in the Supreme Court. So like for like a week, it was decriminalized because there was no action on a lawsuit or something
that
like that.
With prostitution, I think. And they passed a new law now, but yeah, that just happened.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was crazy. Like, and I went skiing with my dad, like 2 weeks after the law came out, recriminalizing it. And we were walking through the parking lot. And then there were a bunch of guys, like, just smoking weed in the parking lot. And he yelled out, he's like, "You guys know that that's a criminal offense now, right?" And it was like, I was mortified as a kid, but now I think you're back. It's like, that's hilarious. It's just like, just chirping these kids in the parking lot. It's like, yeah, you guys, you go ahead, break the law, whatever.
See, I think that right there is the problem with whether it's drinking or drugs. Like, I think people might say, oh, those kids, you know, smoking pot in the parking lot, you know, it's disgusting. But I think, this is, people say this all the time about gay couples and straight couples and you know, gay marriage or whatever. And people sort of say, you know, when I see this in public, it weirds me out. I'm like, I gotta be honest, dude. I see public displays of affection of any kind, it weirds me out. And just like in the same note, like if I was in a parking lot and I saw a guy just like hammering a beer, I'd be like, what are you doing? This is not the place to do this. Like, just I encourage you to hammer that beer. Just do it where you're supposed to do it. Like,
go inside the doors of a bank by the ATM, like a normal person.
Exactly, yeah. Go under a bridge like a normal person.
Yes.
And same with, so that those kids doing that, they look like bums or whatever. They look like sketchy sitting in the parking lot. If you're at a dinner party and you're eating some pot brownie in Colorado now, like that will be as normal as a glass of wine.
Yeah.
In about 5 years from now. Like, we're talking about our kids growing up in a world where they'll always have the internet, but maybe they'll grow up in a world where that's just a normal thing to do. Like, you just,
yeah.
Yeah, so let's just go. Let's go.
So wait, it was illegal?
Yeah.
For you to
the MLCBO.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't think the LCBO will last much longer either.
So? Yeah.
No, I think that'll eventually be privatized. They privatize everything. They're gonna privatize Canada Post. I guarantee it. They're already like cutting so much out of that. We are so far off the original topic this podcast. But yeah, I think the idea of the government overseeing liquor control will disappear.
That's to be honest, it goes back to a cultural difference, right? Like, it's so weird that, because we live near the border, we can just drive across the border and get alcohol in any random convenience store.
Going to Tops or going to Wegmans or insert US chain here, and like seeing the beautiful beer aisle, and it's just like three aisles just filled with every beer you could possibly see, like microbreweries, big breweries, like local import. And it's just the amount of selection that they have is crazy. And like, oh man, I wish.
Imagine if it was the reverse. If we had beer and alcohol in our supermarkets and someone said, hey guys, we need to stop doing this. We need to open up special stores that just carry this stuff, and you'll have weird hours and it'll be closed all the time. And you have to go there specifically just for this one item. How much of a ridiculous waste of money that would have been at the time. Like, why would you ever make this more complicated?
Yeah.
But now going the reverse is like a debate. And I, don't be wrong, I kind of like that it's in there. It's kind of clean and everything. But when you do it that way, you do the reverse version, it makes no sense at all. Like,
no,
it's the stupidest idea ever.
No. Do you remember the commercials that the beer companies put out?
Yeah.
Saying, oh, yeah. It was essentially commercials showing why it would be a bad idea to have beers in like convenience stores, and it was essentially just a clerk letting these very obvious kids buy beer and just didn't care. But on the other hand, this clerk also is selling cigarettes, which are also something that you cannot buy before the age of 18. And I'm, you know, if he's doing that for beer, he's going to do the exact same thing for cigarettes. Like, what's I don't know. And there are some convenience stores in small towns and stuff that are a combination convenience store, LCBO, and beer store.
Yeah.
So it's already there. It's already the same clerk.
Yeah.
What is the...
Yeah, those ads, and just that concept is really silly. I don't know. I think, you know, those kind of sketchy liquor stores? Like, I've been in Nashville, there's like kind of sketchy liquor stores and stuff.
Yeah.
I get that, but that's more the neighborhood, I think, than the store.
Drive-thrus?
Have you ever seen those? I have seen. I saw one. I've never been to one. I've seen.
They're like a southern thing. Like we, when we were in South Carolina, there were a bunch everywhere. But
yeah, those are hilarious.
So, I mean, like, in what world are you so busy that you cannot park your car to go buy your alcohol? Like, what is? I don't understand.
It's not even like, because it does make some sense. Like, there's drive-through banks and drive-through prescription drugs. It's just the optics are so dumb.
Yeah.
Sorry, let me hand you your beer, sir, as you drive your car.
Yeah, don't you drink this.
Don't have this.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I think drinking is a really weird thing. Drinking, I would say, and, like, drinking drugs, nudity, and violence are kind of big markers in culture that I think North America has done completely wrong in every way.
Yeah.
We're really big on violence. Like, every movie has tons of violence. And then, but we're totally sketched out by any kind of nudity.
Yeah.
And we, you know, drinking in the States, you can tailgate a big football game, but in Canada, you can't really do that unless someone decides for some reason you can't. Whereas in other countries,
Money starts flowing.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah. But you can walk down the street in other places. I guess in Vegas, you can do it. But some places, you can just walk around Europe and just have a beer.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. I remember...
In some places in Europe, you can drive with an open beer. And as long as... If you can drink it, but as long as your alcohol level stays under the legal limit, whatever. Drink your beer in your car.
I would love to know exactly how that's any different. Like, what's wrong with that idea? I'm not promoting drinking and driving.
No,
and being over the
kids
influence.
Don't drink and drive. There's a lot of let me talk to the kids for a minute. Let me pull a Don Cherry. All right, kids out there, I know you think it's real cool to be driving around with a liquor bottle and liquor. Oh my god, I'm just gonna stop. You keep talking.
You keep your stick on the ice. But but think about it. Like, it's the same exact concept as me finishing my beer more quickly to get in the car. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm ever gonna do this or I ever want to do this. It just the logic is not there.
Yeah,
but But I remember when I was in Cancun. I went to Cancun. I stayed. The cousin actually got married. I was with her.
Ooh la la.
We stayed, and I bought a bunch of beer at. We stayed in a condo, so we went to like Walmart and buy our food and stuff to cook ourselves.
Yeah.
I remember drinking a beer, like walking through this mall and thinking, because everyone said, "Oh yeah, Cancun, you can do this kind of stuff." We're walking through this mall, and then the security guard stopped me. He's like, "What the hell are you doing? You can't just drink in this mall." So I guess like. I assumed because I was in a foreign country, I could just do what I wanted. It would be the equivalent of walking through like a major mall.
You just say no English and you walk away. Continue drinking your beer.
He looked at me like, "You stupid American Canadian. Who do you think you are?" It's literally the equivalent of walking through a major mall with just a beer in my hand. But that was my one experience of trying to relax liquor laws in other countries.
Yeah, you didn't change the world.
Yeah.
You didn't change Mexican law.
Yeah.
World Cup is on right now.
Yeah.
And have you watched like anything about all of the laws that were changed specifically for the World Cup?
No.
FIFA is probably the shadiest organization that has ever existed, like in terms of sport. I mean, I'm not putting them in the same, but I'm using a little bit of hyperbole here. But
take that, Luftwaffe.
But in Brazil, prior to the World Cup, it was illegal to sell alcohol in football stadiums, so soccer stadiums, because there were too many deaths.
Yeah.
They made it illegal because so many people would get drunk and then fight and kill people at soccer games, so they made it illegal. FIFA then comes in, and because one of their major sponsors is Budweiser, forces the hand of the Brazilian government to make it legal to sell beer, because it is like, and like they had a spokesman that said, you know, maybe we're sounding callous, but it is absolutely absolutely necessary that this law gets through. So, and now, as soon as Brazil lost in the semifinals, I thought people are going to be murdered in the stadium. They're all going to be drunk. They're all going to be full of emotion, and someone's going to die. Although FIFA doesn't seem to care about deaths in stadiums, given what's going on in
too soon.
Oh yeah, that's...
But that goes back to just like how silly the laws are, and I'm not someone who smokes pot, or I'm not particularly interested in it or anything.
Yeah,
but can you imagine a world where alcohol was illegal but pot wasn't? And you were saying to me, Matt, they had to make pot illegal because everyone smoked so much they got violent at a soccer game. That would never happen. If anything, they would just get really hungry, maybe like trip out, get sleepy.
Yeah, but
the effects of marijuana are very different from the effects.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. What I'm saying is that one is like legal and like rampant, and one is illegal. That's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah, that's so. It seems even escalates how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
Hey, if we give you too much of this, you'll start to murder each other.
Yeah, exactly. You will lose the part of your brain that makes you think critically.
Yeah.
And
should I stomp this guy's head into the concrete? I think yes.
Yeah.
He just like team. I like.
That makes sense. Oh.
I remember I went to a Buffalo Bills game wearing a Dolphins jersey once.
Go Bills.
and I was at a urinal, and there's a guy beside me, those big troughs they have at the stadium there.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing my Dolphins jersey. The guy beside me is wearing a Bills jersey. The guy behind him is like, yeah, piss on that guy. Piss on the Dolphins fan. And the guy looks at me, I look at him, and I'm like, please don't pee on me. I just like a different team than you. Doesn't mean I'm not worth peeing on.
Did you tell me you said I'm a human
being? I'm a human being. I think I did, yeah. I'm a human being. I just like a different team, and he just laughed, and no one did pee on me in the end. But
that's good. Yeah, I mean, that's a happy ending. That's a happy ending. There are very few happy endings at Ralph Wilson Stadium. Yeah, that's one of them.
There's probably a lot of happy endings at Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Okay. Gross. And on that
note,
Ralph Wilson Estate, if you want to sponsor this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Jim Kelly, if you're out there, sponsor the podcast.
Yes.
Hunter's Hope. I don't think charities can sponsor things.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, but just right there.
Unless it's Susan B. Corman.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to stay in Buffalo. I really hope not, just to spite you.
Why?
Why
would you wish these things?
I don't know. Los Angeles Bills.
Oh. No. No. No.
I love it. The Buffalo Bills logo is a bison, like a buffalo.
Yes.
And the Buffalo Bisons is their baseball team, is a bison. And then the Buffalo Sabres is a sword. When your city is named for an animal already, why not just use that for everything? Why do you use a saber?
Just call yourself Buffalo.
Yeah, it's called the Buffaloes.
Just the Buffalo. That's it. Every single team.
The herd. Buffalo herd.
Yeah, Buffalo, and then you put in brackets the league it's in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Buffalo NBA.
Yeah.
Buffalo NFL.
Are there other city names that are actually animals that would work that way? I think Buffalo would be the only one I could think of off the top of my head.
That currently have a team?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. That would be a really hilarious team. I'm sure they have teams, but that's about it.
Yeah. No, there's not really a ton. Like,
there's little Canadian ones like Porcupine and stuff like that, but nothing really good. There you go.
Well,
this has been fascinating.
Yeah.
This was definitely a journey. This is the least planned one.
Yeah, no.
And it definitely had its bumps, but it also had its...
We were so excited to do a second podcast in this session, and then we picked a topic, and we thought we could fill a half an hour with it, and we very obviously could not. So hey, then we
half
just...
Half an hour started, is filled.
We filled it with whatever. It's just cobbled together garbage, but you listen
to it, so who's the sucker now?
So thanks, thanks, Joe's wife. The only person who listened all the way through.
Yep.
Love you.
All right. Well, that's Unnecessary Side Project for another week. Good luck. Godspeed. Keep your stick on the ice. Ralph Wilson's Estate, if you're out there, sponsor the podcast.
Yep.
And we'll see you in a week.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for your patronage. We will see you next week.